Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Samach Zayin. We left off in daf Samach Vav Amid Beis. We're right at the bottom of the page, three lines from the bottom of the page, right after the word Teku. Shalach le Rav Nechemia Bered Rav Yosef le Rabba Bered Rav Huna, le Rabba Bered Rav Huna Zuti le Narda. So he sent him a message. Ki asya hach itzel lekamach. When this woman comes in front of you, agva isur nichse afilim itzdrovle derechayim. You can collect her isur nichasim even from the itzdrovle derechayim. Now, the itzdrovle derechayim was something that was mechuba lekarka. It was part of the mill that was attached to the ground. What are isur nichse though? So Rashbam fills us in on that. That's a sugya maseches ksubis. Shahabas no telas benichse avia b'shvil parnasas habal lihinase bo. Meaning, it's normally a girl gets a dowry from her father when she gets married. What if her father is dead? So we still assume that part of his money, part of his estate, is meant to go toward her dowry. What percentage of his estate? So the Gemara has a major sugya about trying to figure out what the father would have given. Do you assume that if a father gave X amount for his older daughter who got married, that he would have given the same for this younger daughter? It's just that he's dead now, but we can make that assumption and therefore give the same amount of Chasim, or do we assume no, that sometimes Pamim Ani Veheshir, Ashir Veheni, the Gemara says, sometimes a person was richer and now lost money, or was poorer and now made money, and the Gemara says, wait a second, that's obvious that if a person lost money or made a lot of money, that he's going to change. But the Gemara says, we can even assume sometimes Pamim Ani Veheshir Bedas, sometimes he was more stingy, and then as he gets older, he gets a little bit more generous with his money. And sometimes just the opposite, a person was very generous as a youngster, and then he realized the value of money, and he became a little more stingy with his money. So it's very hard to predict exactly what he would have given, what he would have designated for his daughter's dowry. So we go with a fixed percentage, and the fixed percentage is 10% of his estate. That's what we give for the daughter's dowry. We take 10% of the father's estate, and we assume that that's meant for the girl and that's what we call isur nichse for her dowry. The Gemara has a discussion: what if you have 10 daughters, all and one son, and all the daughters want to get married? So does that mean the son loses Yerusha entirely because each daughter is getting 10%, which would leave the son with absolutely nothing? So the Gemara says, no, they each take 10% of what remains. And it's Machlokas in the Gemara over there. When you say they take 10% of what remains, does that mean that the first girl gets 10%? Let's say that you have $100. So the first girl gets $10, second girl gets $9, third girl gets $8.10, etc., etc. So as you go down the list, each girl is going to get less and less. Or perhaps the Gemara says, the Gemara Ksuba says, you can pool the money after you figure out what 10% of what remains would be, after you take the 10 plus the 9 plus the 8 plus 1 plus the 8.1, etc., going down the list, you would then pool all the money and split it evenly amongst 10 daughters so that it would be equitable. But either way, the son would be left with something. And I think the maskana of the Gemara over there is that the halacha would be that each girl would get 10% of what remains, unless they're all coming bebas achas. If they all want to get married at the same time, they all met their basher, it's mamish at the same time, so they all want to get married at the same time, they're all making the taina that they want the risu nechasim at the same time, then you would pool the money. Then you would do that system of taking, of figuring out what would be 10% of what remains, and then pulling all the money and dividing it evenly. But bottom line is, that's what Isur Nichsi is. It's 10% of the father's estate that's meant to go toward the girl's dowry. So that's what Rashbam says. So the Gemara says, it's not always 10%. Normally, if we can figure out what the father would want, we would first be Shaman Ba'av. We would first figure out what he would want. But if we don't know his das, if we don't know what he would want, no tells Isur Nichas, and then you just go with a fixed 10%. However, that 10% of the estate has to be collected dafka from karka, not from metaltalin. And that's the point in our Gemara. The Gemara says, ideally, if you know who the father, the Gemara over there says, if you know who the father was and you know his spending habits and you have a good feel for what he would have given his daughter, so then we trust ourselves to make that estimation. But if he was from out of town and he was new here and we didn't really get a chance to know him, and we can't, we don't feel like we can make a proper educated guess on what he would have given, so then we just stick with the 10%. But the point of bringing this idea over here is that we only collect the Yisur Nechasim from karka, we don't collect it from metaltalim. And over here in this story, Rav Nechemiah Bered Rav Yosef sent to Rabbi Bered Rav Hunazuti that he should go collect it afilu mi istruvli. What's the istruvli? So we said that it's mechubel karka. So says the Rashbam, and this is going Rabbi Lazar the kolam mechubel karka reu karka. This is assuming like Rabbi Lazar that anything that's mechubel karka has a din of karka, because the istruvli is mechubel karka, and we're assuming that you're allowed to collect Yisur Nechasim, even though Yisur Nechasim can only be collected from karka. So this is exactly like Rabbi Lazar, which is the shita we've been discussing, we discussed over the past day or so. So says the Gemara, says Rashbam, Vayter, Upirish Rabbeinu Chananel, V'kaimulan Hachid. Rabbeinu Chananel says, yes, and we pask in this way, that kol mechub l'karka is like karka. Tal les man de polagala, uludivre akol parnasati, isu nixi mim karkai v'lom imtadlihi. No one disagrees. Everyone holds that the isu nechasim is only taken from karka, not from metaltalin. Vafilu bizman hazeh, and even bizman hazeh, da behedya pasuk rav perak matzias isha hilchsam im karki v'lom metaltli bein l'ksuba bein l'mazoni bein l'parnasa. Right, what's the difference between mazoni and parnasa? Parnasa is a reference to isur nechasim. Parnasa is a reference to that 10%. Mazoni is a reference to when the father dies and the daughter is not yet married, the brothers who inherit the father are obligated to support, to feed the daughter. That's the mazonos. Once she gets married, they no longer support her, but they give her 10% of the estate for the parnasa, for the yisur nechasim. V'yafal gavda rabba seinu haga'onim tiknu ligvos ksuba afilu mi metaltli. It says the Rashbam, maybe you would say bizman hazeh it's different, because the rabbanon were misakein that you collect ksuba even from metaltalim. Govim gam mazoni afilu mi metaltli da'kaimel and tonight ksuba k'ksuba dami, and we even collect the mizonos from metaltalim, because mizonos are considered a tanai ksuba, and tanai ksuba k'ksuba. So if we're going to collect the ksuba from metaltalim, we'll also collect the mizonos from metaltalim. So says Rashbam, shouldn't that tell us that the isur nechasim, that the parnasa should also be collected, or may also be collected from metaltalim? Hani mili b'ksuba mizone, avala parnasa eno mitanai ksuba, hilkoch b'makomo mendes, m'karkoi gavivom m'taltli. The parnasa is not considered one of the tanai ksuba. So since it's not considered a tanai ksuba, you cannot collect it from m'taltli, you can only collect it from karka, as the Gemara says. And therefore, so 2 points Rashbam made. Number one is that we pask in this way, we pask in the kol mechub l'karka is like karka, because no one seems to disagree with that psak in this Gemara. And number two, that even bizman hazeh, that ksuba and mizonos is collected from metaltalim, still the isur nechasim is only collected from karka. Says the Gemara Vayter, Am Ravashi ki avinan bei Rav Kahana magvinan afilu mei amla debati. That when we were by Rav Kahana, he would collect even from the amla debati. What's that? So the Rashbam says, Mischirus abatim deki mekarkoi chashav lei deschar mekarkoi chashav mekarkoi. That was rental payments that they would get for renting out houses. That's considered karka. That since they would make money off of houses by renting them out, so the money that they would make, since they would make it from houses, is considered like karka, and therefore you're allowed to collect rental payments of houses that were owned by the father's estate for the isur nechasim, because isur nechasim can only be collected from karka. That counts as karka. So I ask Tosos, wait a second, when are you collecting this money? Meaning, there was a real estate enterprise. The dead father owned a lot of real estate, and he rented a lot of, he owned apartment buildings, so we had rental payments that came in every month, let's say, right? Now, every month rental payments came in, they went into the bank account. So you're allowed to go and you're allowed to raid the bank account? The girl's allowed to go into the bank account and take 10% of the money because the business that her father happened to be in was real estate? But if he sold the trinkets or something, she wouldn't be able to raid the bank account because that's metaltalin. How is that okay? It's already it's cash. It's the same money in a bank account. Why would it be different just because the money was made through renting houses? Right now it's money. Right now it's not houses. Look, she wants to go collect the houses and rent them out herself because I'm hey, that's fine. That's karka. The houses themselves are karka. So she wants to collect 10% of the houses and use them to rent out to make money. So that would be fine, but that doesn't sound like that's what we're talking about. So Fractosus Fim Tomar, Hechidami, what's the case exactly? Ik varba haschirus liat ha'achin imken metaltalin inhu velo gavi minahu. If they already collected the rental payments, so then it's metaltalin. She can't collect from cash in a bank account. And if you want to tell me, oh, well, she could take some of those apartments and rent them out herself and make the money off of it to collect her dinya, well, of course she can. She could take those apartments and sell them if she wanted. So of course she could take them and rent them. The point is, she's entitled to Yisur Nechasim, so she could do whatever she pleases with those apartments. So what's the chiddush then? So it says, Tosos Yeshlomer Gon Sheshchiru Abayis L'Shana Ukvar Ofer Chatzi Azman, that the house was rented out for a year's time, it was leased for a year, and half the time has passed already. V'kamash Milan Da'afilu Shchirus Mizman Sha'avar Titol Deina Shchirus Mishalem Esal V'Sof Lodami L'Metaltalin. The cash hasn't been collected yet, but it's owed already. Meaning, the house was rented out for a year, the payment is only due at the end of the year. Let's say it's $1,000 for the year. So the payment is due at the end of the year. We're now 6 months into the year. So one might have thought that $500 she can collect, because that's future profit from karka. She's allowed to collect from karka. Just like she could take the house and rent it out herself or sell it herself, she can collect the rental payments that are coming in for that house. But one might have thought that the $500 already owed for the first 6 months of the year would have a din of metaltalin, and she cannot collect. So kamashmon, since it's not collected yet, it's collectible, but it's not collected yet, it's still considered like karka, and she can collect from that her Isur Nechasim. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamochras Chatzar, again, we're continuing with Mishnayos that relate to what's included in a sale. That sometimes we're somewhat vague in how we describe what exactly we're selling. We say, I'm selling a house, I'm selling a chatzar. Well, what's in the house? The furniture, the doorknobs, the light fixtures, all those things, right? So we're still in a series of Mishnayos, and we will be for a while, that relates to what's included in a sale. So a mochras a chatzer, a person sells a chatzer. Machar batim baros shichnu ma'aros. He sells the houses in the chatzer, meaning the chatzer doesn't only mean the yard. A chatzer contains houses inside of it. So if you own the houses in the chatzer, we assume you mean to sell not just the chatzer, but the houses in the chatzer as well. And the baros shichnu ma'aros, the various bodies of water in the chatzer. They're all included in the sale. Avalois a metaltalin, but he does not sell the metaltalin. We assume that he does not mean to include the tashmishi abayis that are metaltalin, that are movable, that aren't fixed and set in the house. Now, in terms of why the water, the borosich lemaros are sold together with the chatzer, it's machlokas rishonim. The Rimi Gash writes that it's the derech of a chatzer to have borosich lemaros inside of it, and therefore when you sell the chatzer, you sell the Baruch Namaros as well. The Rashba says it's not just that it's the derech to have it there, but rather that a chatzar generally is made for kvisa and for being mashke behemos. It's made for things that require water. A chatzar is used primarily for kvisa, which is laundry, for being mashke behemos, to feed your animals, to give them to drink, to give the animals something to drink. So one of the tashmishi a chatzar, perhaps one of the ikr tashmishi a chatzar, is to have boros mayim. It's critical to the chatzer. And therefore, it's sold together with the chatzer because it's the same tashmish. As long as it serves the same purpose, the primary function of the chatzer is the same as the function of the boros. That's why it would be sold together with the chatzer. So those are the two days, the Rimi Gash and the Rashba. The Rimi Gash is a little bit difficult in the sense that boros would seem to, if you can say things that it's the derech to have in the chatzer, it was the derech to have boros in the chatzer. Shichnu ma'aros are a little bit unusual for a chatzer. That's a little too rustic for a chatzer. To have shichnu ma'aros, ma'aros are like caves with water in it, right? Like you have mikvaos, and it's a lot of times in a cave, right? So shichnu ma'aros, that's not in a chatzer. A chatzer is the yard in front of the homes where people live. So it's not typical to have those things in the chatzer. So it's a little bit difficult, according to the Rimi Gash, why shichnu ma'aros would be included. According to the Rashba, it's fine. As long as there's water there, that's the same tashmish as the chatzer. It's the same primary usage as the chatzer, and that's all we're interested in. We don't care whether it's normal for it to be there or not normal for it to be there. It's what the chatzer is used for. Okay, so that's the first halach in the Mishnah, that included in the chatzer are the boros shichnu ma'aros, but not metaltalin that happens to be there, that's used, even though it's used for the chatzer, but it's not kavua. Bizman sha'amalo hu v'kal ma'ashabatalcho, harei kulon mechurin. But if you say Huva Kol Masha Betocho, then everything gets included. What do you mean everything? So the Rashbam says not everything, everything. Everything means Hamataltlin Tashmishe Bayis Kulan Deikru Metaltli Kedamrin LeKaman B'Mishe Meis Mani Tashmishe Yikru Metaltli Lochiti Yisari. It doesn't mean everything that happens to be in the Chatzer. It means everything that's a Tashmish for the Chatzer, everything that's typically used for the chatzer. But it doesn't mean if something happens to be in that chatzer, if the bicycle your bicycle happens to be in the chatzer, it doesn't mean you sold your bicycle. If you have food that happens to be in the chatzer, it doesn't mean that the food is necessarily included. It only means things that are used together with the chatzer, that are typically used in the chatzer. Fine, so that's what it means, that kulan mechuran. But either way, the merchatz, if you have a bathhouse or you have an olive press in the chatzar, that's for sure not included in the sale, because that's not the same tashmish, and it's a makom chashav b'fnei atzmo, right? Each of those items are considered their own, they have their own chashivus, and it's certainly not meant to be included together just as a throw-in together with the chatzar. Rabbi Lazar Amar HaMochras HaChatzar Lo Mochar Ela Avira Shel Chatzar. He says when you sell the chatzar, all you're selling is the avir of the chatzar, meaning you're selling the yard. You're not selling the houses. This is a machlokes of the Tanakama. Tanakama held that when you say chatzar, you mean the houses inside the chatzar as well. Rabbi Lazar says, no. A chatzar means the yard. That's all you're selling. Avol Batam Uboros Lo Mochar Klal, says Rashbam. The houses and the boros also are absolutely not included. And this is what the Rashbam keeps on saying when it comes to selling karka. The Rashbam has that popular refrain. He keeps on saying, you can't just check the value. You can't just look at the money, because eino nal lekarkaos. And therefore, there is no value, set value for it. There is no market price for real estate, because you can overcharge in real estate and you're not chayiv to do a bitul mekka to reimburse for the amount that you overcharged. Tosfos, several times already in this Masechta, has told us that that's not true. That although, I mean, it is true that there's something called Eino Nal Karkos, but Eino Nal Karkos does not mean that real estate has no market value. Real estate absolutely has a market value. And in fact, the raya is bitul mekach yesh. If you really overcharge for real estate, then the mekach is going to be void. So don't tell me that there's no set dollar value, there's no market price for real estate. Absolutely there's a market price for real estate. Rather, the issue over here is that the damim is not modiyim. Sometimes you can't just check at what he's paying to figure out what's included, because although there is a market price, sometimes people purposely overpay because they dafka want that area. People do crazy things when it comes to real estate. Like we gave the example, if it happens all the time. If a real estate developer wants to do a big project, a multi-billion dollar project or something, or hundreds of millions of dollars, invest in a project, and there's and he buys out all the tenants of a building that's in the way of the project, and there's one little old lady who the apartment that she has maybe only worth $100,000. But she's not selling it for less than $500,000. So it might be worth it for him, rather than going through legal battles or whatever to pay the $500,000. It's five times what the apartment is worth or whatever. Still, it's worth it for him, considering the bigger picture of that he needs that property. So it's nothing to do with Eino Nal Karkos. There is a market value for karka. The issue is that what market value does not always determine what a person is going to pay. Sometimes a person will pay a lot more. So what the guy paid does not always indicate what's included in the sale. Okay, that's the Shita of Tosos against the Rashbam. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Hamochres HaChatzer, a person who sells a chatzer, Machar Batim HaChitzonim UBatim HaPnimim UBeis HaChulsaos. Someone who sells a chatzer has sold the outer houses of the chatzer, the inner houses of the chatzer, and the Beis HaChulsaos. So what's all this? The outer houses of the chatzer mean the houses that open up into the chatzer. The Beis HaChulsaos, the Rashbam quotes, Pirush Rach, Karka Sha'afaro Chol, Shemotzin Menu Zuchuchas. It's a place that the ground is made out of a sand that they can make glass out of. And therefore it's considered Makom Chashuv, because this is a place where they're able to make glass. It's a place that's meant for glass production. So if you sell a chatzer and there happens to be a section of the chatzer that's used as a Beis HaChulsaos, as a place where they make glass, that would be, according to this brisa, that would be included in the sale. The Yad Rama writes that it's not mistaver that if it's a place where they make glass, he says it's not mistaver that it would be included in the sale, because since it's not something that's shchiach in Rov Chaseros, so it shouldn't be. Meaning, what did we have before? We had two deos as to why it is that boros and shich nemaros are included, either because they're shchiach in Rov Chaseros, they're always there, or because it's the same tashmish as the chaser. You have neither over here, says the Yad Rama. It's not shchiach. How many people in the chaser have a glass production business because they have the right kind of sand or whatever it is, right? So it's not shchiach in the chaser. It's not in, and therefore it should be like a merchatz beis habad, which are not included in the chaser. And he says furthermore, if the beis merchatz, by beis merchatz, at least the people who live in that chaser use the beis merchatz. They bathe in the beis merchatz, and still that's not sold together with the chaser. Says the Yad Rama. So Kol Shekein, this Beis HaChol, which is not even used by the people in the Chatzar, it's just a business, an enterprise that the guy has, where he makes glass, it's not a basic Tashmish of the Chatzar, for sure it shouldn't be sold together with the Chatzar. So therefore the Yad Rama rejects this interpretation that Rashbam quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, says that this Beis HaChol Sa'os cannot be referring to a sandy place that you make glass from. And rather he says that any place, the kol makom shekarka uchol nikra chulsis. Chulsis means any place where the ground is sandy. And when they build a bias around the sandy ground, so it becomes a place to cool off during the summer months, you know, either by sitting on the ground on the cool sand or putting food and drink there, and it's a place to just cool off in the summertime. And that's certainly the Tashmishei HaChatzer, right? The Bnei HaChatzer, the people in the Chatzer, go, you know, like to have an area like that, a little gazebo or something, where they can cool off and not be in the sun. So that is what the Yad Rama thinks is a much more likely interpretation, translation of Beis HaChol Sa'os than the idea of a glass-making place. Chanuyos psuchos l'tocha nimkarosima. Stores that open up into the chatzar are included in the sale. When you say you're selling a chatzar, if there are businesses, stores, that actually are shops that open up into the chatzar, that's included in the sale. If the businesses, the stores, do not open up into the chatzar, it's not included in the sale. Now the Rashbam adds, not only are they psuchos l'tocha, what's the pshat? Why, if they're psuchos l'tocha, are they included in the sale? She'ein mochrin elul b'nei chatzar zu. So the Rashbam says, because they only sell to people in this chatzar. So therefore, it's included in the chatzar, because the tashmish of this store is dafka for this chatzar. What if it's psuchos l'kan l'kan? What if it's open in both directions? Send him karosima. Then it is included. Rav Lazar Amar Morchas HaChatzar Lo Machar Ela Milusa Shel Chatzar. If someone sells a chatzar, Rabbi Lazar says, no, you only sell the airspace of the chatzar. Same Rabbi Lazar as our Mishnah. That all these extras that you want to include in the sale are not included. The chatzar means a yard. So you're selling a yard, you're selling nothing more than that. Amamar, psuchas l'kan l'kanim karosima. If it's opened up in, we just said that if stores are open both to the inside of the chatzar and outside of the chatzar, it is included in the sale. V'atani Rabbi Chia inim karosima. Aye, but Rabbi Chia taught that it's not included in the sales. How can you say it is included in the sale? Lo kasha, hadrov tashmishayu legav, hadrov tashmishayu levar. Very predictable, right? When it's rov tashmishto, when most of the business that it does is toward the inside of the chatzer, so then it's going to be included in the sale of the chatzer. But when most of the business is from the outside, it just happens to have a back door that comes into the chatzer also, so then we're going to say it's not included in the sale of the chatzer. Its connection to the chatzer is more incidental. But if it's rov tashmishto in the chatzer, then its connection to the chatzer is very strong, and it would be included in the chatzer. Okay, so Rav Lazar said in the Mishnah, Rav Lazar Omer, Amochre es chatzer, lo machar ela avir shel chatzer, that when you sell the chatzer, you're only selling the air, you're selling the space, but not other items connected to it. Amar Rava, ida amalei dirasa. So if he says, I'm selling you a dirasa, when he sells the chatzar, if he uses a lashon that he's selling a dira, so then everyone agrees that dira means a house. So he's got to be selling the houses in the chatzar as well. Ki pligi damle darsa. He says, I'm selling you the darsa b'chatzar. So what does it mean, darsa? Marsavar tarbita mashma, marsavar bati mashma. So that's the machlokas. Does it mean only the airspace of the chatzar? Or does darsa mean the houses in the chatzar as well. That's one lashon. Ikad Amri, others have the statement of Rava as follows, that Amar Rava, Ida Amar Le Darsa, Dukole Amar Le Pligi Dibati Mashma, that if he says Darsa, for sure it does mean houses. Ki Pligi Damar Le Chatzar, it's where he didn't even say a lashon as strong as Darsa. The Machlokas is where he just says Chatzar. Mar Savar Chatzar Avira Mashma, one Shita says, well, Chatzar just means a yard. So a yard means just the airspace. What else is in a yard? So that's the Pashtus. Umar Sav and the other Shita says, no, Kechatzra Mishkan, that when you say Chatzar includes everything in it. How do I know that? Because when we refer to the Chatzar Mishkan, not we, when the Torah refers to the Chatzar Mishkan, the Torah gives us dimensions of the Chatzar Mishkan. Now, are those dimensions excluding the area where the actual structure was located, where the actual Mishkan was located, where the Ohel Moed was located? No, the dimensions of the Chatzar and Mishkan that were given include the area where the structure was located as well, where the so-called bayis was located as well. So you see that included in the Shem Chatzar are structures built in the Chatzar, and therefore the bayis would be included as well. Because we learned from Chatzar and Mishkan, if you look at Rashbam, Umar Savar Chatzar and Mishkan, Chacham Savri, Chatzar Chatzar and Mishkan, Kedukziv, Orech Chatzar Mea Ba'ama, Verochav Chamishim Chamishim, Ubechlal Elu Kufama, Kodesh HaKadashim, Va'ol Moed, Shem Kuba Batim. The Kodesh HaKadashim and Ol Moed are structures within the Chatzar, and yet it's included in the measurement. The Karin HaKosuv Chatzar, Mikan Shabbatim Nimkar, and the Torah calls it a Chatzar. Mikan Shabbatim Nimkar, Mechal Chatzar, Ken Pirish Rach Ve'ikr. So there we see that the batim are included in the chatzar. Umistavra kailish nabasra. Now we had two lashonos. Was the machlokas when you said darsa, or was the machlokas when you said chatzar? But by darsa, everyone would agree that the houses are included. So says Rashbam, mistavra kailish nabasra. Most likely, we say like this second lashon, that the bedamar le chatzar pligi, that the whole machlokas is when you use a lashon of chatzar. Dachitnan nasisin, vehilkach loshonam le dirsa, vloshonam le darsa, vloshonam le chatzar, machras abatim. And therefore, the halach is going to be in the end of the day, because we're not going to pass him like Rav Lazar, the halach is going to pass him like the Chum against Rav Lazar, so the halach is going to be in the end of the day that no matter what you said, dirasa, darsa, chatzar, it always includes the houses. Because we're assuming like this second lashon that dirasa and darsa is not even the machlokas. And the only place where you have the machlokas whether it includes the houses is chatzar. And who's the machlokas between? It's between the Chum and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Shamutehu. We don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer ever. So plus the Chum are the Rabbim. So it's a davar pashut that you would pass over here like the Chachamim. And therefore, it always includes the batim as well. Now the Yad Ramah says that the idea of the Mishkan, the connection to the Mishkan, he says the hochacha, the raya from the Chatzar Mishkan is that it's only because the Mishkan was pasuach letocho, right? The Mishkan was opened up directly into the Chatzar. That's why it's called Chatzar. But when you don't have the bayis pasuach letocho, it's not going to be called part of the Chatzar, right? If the bayis opens up somewhere else, even though it's located inside the Chatzar, the actual structure is built in the confines of the Chatzar, but if the opening opens up to outside of the Chatzar, unlike the Mishkan, then it would not be included in the Chatzar. So that's the idea, that you can't say that when you sell the Chatzar, you sell only the Avir, because over here you have a bayis pesuach letocho, and it's considered together with the Chatzar. But the Yad Ramah says that the Dimyon is very strange. That we're trying to figure out when someone sells, when Reuven sells to Shimon, a guy, sells to his friend the Chatzar, whether houses are included, based on how the Torah describes the Chatzar and HaMishkan. He says there are lots of places where we call a Chatzar the area even without the bayis. There are lots of places where we refer to a Chatzar. For instance, when we had Gemaras earlier in the first parak, that Ein Cholkin as a Chatzar, Achi Edal Ramos Lazeh V'Edal Ramos Lazeh. How do we define a Chatzar Sheish Badin Chalukah? A Chatzar that's dividable, that's large enough to be divided, when there's Dalet Amos for each person in the Chatzar. So what does that mean? Dalet Amos including the Batim? A bayis itself is at least Dalet Amos, right? Otherwise, it's not Chayv and Mezuzah, it's not called the Beis Dira. Right? So the bayis itself is Dalet Amos. So there's nothing outside of the houses then. No, so clearly over there, the Chatzar does not refer to the bayis. It refers to the area aside from the bayis. So there are a lot of places where we call the Chatzar the area outside of the bayis. So how do we know that when you're selling a Chatzar, your intention is to refer to a Chatzar Dumya de Mishkan, right, that the bayis is opened up into it, Misafik, we should have said, we're not sure what you mean. We're not sure whether you mean a chatzer dumya de Mishkan or a chatzer dumya to what we said in the first parak with the Yesh Badin Chaluka. And therefore, what should we say when we have a suffix, what you mean to include in the sale? We should say, that it's the batim are not included in the sale until the buyer is able to prove that you absolutely did intend to sell the batim together with it. So the Yad Ramah, that's Yad Ramah's Kasha. How we can just automatically make a connection to the Chatzar and Mishkan when we know that many times we refer to Chatzar and it does not refer to the batim therein. So the Yad Ramah answers that im lo machalo as a Chatzar, if he didn't sell him the Chatzar, nimsa shamocher yachol akakas as a batim legamri. The mocher could take the batim, vim kein, im luza shem Chatzar klal. Meaning, think about it for a second. If the batim weren't here, then by definition, the area is not a chatzar, right? A chatzar is a chatzar abatim. It's a chatzar. It's a sada without the batim. What makes it a chatzar is the presence of the batim. So therefore, we assume that when you sell the chatzar, you mean to include the batim as well, because the batim are what give it a definition of a chatzar. When you're selling the guy something that does not include batim, well, then for him, it's not a chatzar. A chatzar means a front yard. He doesn't have a front yard if he owns a piece of land in front of your house, right? That's not a front yard for him. So therefore, the assumption is going to be made that it's more dumya to the chatzar mishkan. In the first paragraph, we're talking about chatzar sheish b'din chaluka. We're talking about that it is your front yard. Each person in the chatzar owns a house, right? In the chatzar and a portion of the chatzar as well. Over here, it's a totally different issue. If you don't sell the batim, then it's pashut not a chatzar for the other guy. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. If you're selling him the chulsus, the sandy land where they would make glass, according to the Rabbeinu Chananel, and matzula, what's matzula, says Rashbam, karkais hanahar shemotzin bo kesef zahav, the bottom of the river bank that you could collect silver and gold from, right? Rashbam, the Bach changed it to shemotzin bo. Right, it's not that it produces silver and gold, it's that you can find silver and gold there. Kain Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, V'yesh Mefarshim L'dagim. Others say, no, much more likely that you'll find by a river fish than silver and gold. Right, so it's likely that that's what we're referring to. But either way, it's a place where you can, it's a money maker. It's a place where you can find things that are valuable. So machlo chulsus umatzula, if you sell a chulsus and a matzula at the same time, so what if you only make a kinyan chazaka on one of them? But you want to sell both, or you want to buy both. Are both included in that kinyan? So hechzik b'chulsus lo kana matzula, hechzik b'matzula lo kana chulsus. A chazaka on one does not work for both. You need to do a kinyan chazaka on each, because they each have a different function. And since they each have a different function, they each require a separate kinyan. So frek the gemara eini. V'amar Shmuel b'chalo eser sadas b'eser medinos kiven shechzik b'achas man kana kulam. Didn't we say that when you buy 10 fields in 10 different countries, it could be, and all you do is make a kinyan on one of those fields, a kinyan chazaka on one of those fields, you're kona every single one of them. You're kona all 10 at one shot. So why should this be any different? You're buying two pieces of property, so when you make a kinyan on one, it should be a kinyan on all of them. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasam who the Bach has in Hachi Hashra, it's a bad comparison, because Hasam who desadna da'arachadu v'kulachadu tashmishtahu. If I'm buying 10 fields and I'm using all 10 fields for the same purpose, and it's all on one piece of land, because we consider the entire earth is on one piece of land, it's just separated by a lot of other pieces of land, but it's all one continuous piece of land, even under the ocean, right? The entire earth is considered one continuous piece of land, so as long as it's one tashmish, I can be kona all those lands by making one kinyan, because it's really one big piece of land. But aval hacha, hatashmish l'chud v'hatashmish l'chud. But over here, I'm buying two places that have completely different functions. One is meant to make glass, and one is meant for me to go fishing, or for me to pick up gold and silver. Two totally different functions. And whenever the functions are of the land are completely different, one kinyan is not going to suffice. That's the basic rule. If the functions are exactly the same, one kinyan works. If the functions are different, one kinyan does not work. Just before we go any further, the Rashbam on Amud Beis asks a very basic question. Says Rashbam on Amud Beis, three lines into it, Vim Tomar, Kivan de Benasin Dmei Kula Mairi, Shmuel, Malan Ul Cheskos Achaz Mehen, Valo Karka Nikna Bekesav, Lo Tzricha Su Chazaka. Since you paid for all of them, if we're assuming that the case is that you paid for all 10 pieces of land, what do we care whether the kinyan chazaka works for all of them? Karkas niklus bekesef shtar chazaka. If you paid for all of them, doesn't the kinyan already work? Because you already gave the money? So what do you need the kinyan chazaka at all? So says Rav Shpam, Mikol Meimer, de b'makom shekosu nashtar ma'iri, dasum lo kani karka b'mos, elo b'shtar, o b'chazaka. Now that maybe we're talking about a case where they typically use shtaros, and wherever they typically use a shtar, we assume that the kesef is not meant as a form of kinyan. Okay, just a point of the Rav Shpam. The ikada amri, back in the Gemara, others say, Amar Rav Nachman, hechzik b'chulsis kana b'tzula, that it does work. That if you make a chazak on the chulsis, you're kind of the matzul, even though it's a totally different function. And then, frak the Gemara on that, pshita, tahamar shmul, machalo asasadus v'chulei. Isn't that obvious? Isn't that the same case as shmul, where you buy 10 fields in 10 different medinos, and you make a kinyan on one of them, that the kinyan works for all of them? So it should be the same thing over here, so it's obvious. So says the Gemara, no, it's not obvious. Mal de tema hasum v'desad adarechad hu, abal hachash tashmishaluchud v'atashmishaluchud, kamashmulan. I might have thought that over there, meaning instead of saying that this is the chiluk, we're saying this is what I would have thought the chiluk is. That over there, since it's that when you buy 10 fields and 10 different medinos, they all have the same tashmish, they all have the same basic usage, and therefore one kinyan can work for all of them. But I would have thought that over here, since I'm buying two areas with two completely different forms of usage, therefore it should not be, one kinyan should not suffice for both of them, I should need two separate kinyanim. That you don't need two separate kinyan, and that one kinyan does indeed suffice for both of them. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamocher beis abad. Okay, again, we're continuing Mishnah. It's about what's included in a sale. So we discussed selling houses, we've discussed selling chatzeros. What if you sell an olive press? What's included in the olive press sale? Mocher seyam, so the pool of the olive press is included. Vesa mamel, and the crusher of the olive press. Vesa besulos, and the besulos, the virgins of the olive press. We're going to have to discuss what in the world that means. Avlo machar esa, the Gemara will discuss what all these things mean. Avlo machar esa avirim, we don't sell the boards are not included. Vesa galgal, and the wheel of the olive press. Vesa kor, and the beam. Ubizman shamalo, huva kol masha betocha, re kulu mechurin. But if you say huva kol masha betocha, then everything is included together with the olive press. The Rashbam points out not everything. Dafka haniat shrichin lebeis habad of l'shatash mishin shemunachem b'tochel lisham ra'in l'mechurin. Only things that have something to do with the olive press. Again, if you happen to have parked your bicycle in the olive press, the bicycle is not included, right? It only includes things that even when you say huva kol masha b'tochel, it only includes things that have something to do with the olive press. Rav Lezer amar mocher beis habad mocher sekor. Rav Lezer says when you sell the beis habad, the beam is included. Okay, says the Gemara, what are all these things that we just defined, that we just described? Yam is talfacha, it's the vat of the olive press, where the oil goes. Mamal, amar Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, mafrachta. It's cute, Rabbi Abba bar Mamal is the one who says what a mamal is. That does happen sometimes. The Gemara has sometimes, I'm sure Rav Ruvi Margolius talks about this. He has in his Sefer on Sanhedrin, Margolios Yam, he talks about a lot, and he brings from a lot of Rishonim, that sometimes someone will be called a name not based on who their father was. When you say Bar Mamel, it doesn't always mean his father's name was Mamel. It's like saying someone is a Ben Torah. Right? It doesn't mean his father's name was Torah. It's a description of him. So sometimes when someone had a famous psak, their name is known by that psak. Rabbi Yishuv ben Gamla. Right, Shimon Gamla, on that psak, it happens to talk about, you know, when in Baba, earlier in the Masechta, when it spoke about making yeshivos, Rabbi Shimon Gamla making yeshivos in Kol Yerivir of Kol Pelech Pelech, spoke about whether you have to pass over a Gamla, a bridge, to get from one to the other. So they say that. So his name wasn't Ben Gamla. His name was, they just called him that based on the psak. I wonder if it's the same over here. Anyway, Rabbi Abraham Mamel says it's mafrachta, it's a mortar. Besulos, Amr Yochanan, klunsos shel erez. These are poles made out of erez wood, cedar wood. Shemamidin ben asakar, that support the beam, that hold up the beam. Avirim, what are avirim? Kivshi, those are the planks that they use to keep the pressure even on top of the olives. So it's not the beam that presses down, but the beam doesn't hit directly on the olives. There are planks that you put on top of the olives so that the pressure will be evened out. Gilgal is chumrasa, it's the screw that raises and lowers the beam, and korah is the korah. The korah is the beam. Tan Rabbanan, Hamocher Beis Habad, if a person sells an olive press, Macher Es Nesarim, he includes the planks with the olive press. Rashbam points out, Einam Kivshi, these are not the same as the Kivshi, the other planks that we were talking about, because then it would be a Stira. Because over there it said, you're not Kohen, over here we're saying, it is sold together with it. Rather, these are the planks that are put around the olive press to make sure nothing leaks out, that nothing spreads out, and you know, because when you apply pressure on olives, so some might just get crushed from the pressure, others will just pop right out on the sides. So they need planks along the sides to keep them in, right? To hold them inside the kli. So that's the nesarim that we're talking about over here. Vesa yikavim, vesa mafrechos, vesa rechayim, and the vats, and the mortars, and the millstones, hatachtonos, the lower millstones, avalo eliona, but not the higher millstones, ubizman shamala huva kol masha betocho, arei kulu mechurin. And if you say huva kol masha betocho, then everything is included in the sale. Bein kach u bein kach, lo machar lo es ha'avirim, v'lo es ha'sakin, v'lo es ha'martzufin. Either way, you do not include the boards, nor the cloth sacks or the leather sacks that they would use to schlep around the olives within the olive press. Because those things are metaltalin, and even though they are used primarily for the inside of the olive press, since they're metaltalin, they're not included. Reb Lazar omer ha-mocher beis habad, mocher asakura, shelo nikra beis habad, ela al shem kura. That Reb Lazar holds, and again, this is the shita quoted in our Mishnah, but we're just expounding on it over here in the Braisa, that when you sell the beis habad, the beam is included in the beis habad, because that's the whole function of the Beis Habad. The beam is the primary element of the Beis Habad. That's what makes olives turn into olive oil, is the beam that presses down on the olives. So that has to be included in the sale. Okay, we'll pick up from that Mishnah tomorrow.